Hey, Brian family, welcome back. We are just a week away from meeting again in person right behind me. I gotta tell you, I'm so excited to see you guys all in person. Why? Because relationships matter. And while we've been trying to stay connected through the internet and online devotions and sermons and worshiping together, that's all good. But really, it's not a permanent replacement for gathering together. And that's why we're excited to be back again next week together. But today, we're still talking about relationships, rethink relationships. Here during this time, I think we've missed something like 9 weeks since we've been together on lockdown, on quarantine, spending more time with our families, which can be a really good thing, but it can also cause more stress depending on the dynamics of your relationship. So we want to rethink relationships and make sure we're taking this as an opportunity to both grow closer to Christ and to those who are around us are important to us. Because this is a unique opportunity and time that we need to take advantage of. Last week we talked about relationships in a broad category, relationships within the body of Christ. The week before that was a more narrow one of relationships of a husband and wife. And why it's so important to get it right, because it's this picture of a relationship between Christ and his bride, the church, which is us. Today we're going to move on to a different relationship, one that's important not just to parents and kids, but it's important to all of us. And that is relationships with the next generation. We're interested in growing the next generation as followers of Jesus Christ, who are on fire to deepen their relationship with Christ and to tell others about him and to share their faith. So how do we go about doing that? Why is it important to everybody, even if we don't have kids? What are some of the obstacles that we face? These are all things that we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be looking at a couple different texts. The primary one we're going to look at is in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and find those right now and open up to Deuteronomy 6. Otherwise, we're going to have the text on the screen as well as we read it. Before we get there, I want to make this very clear. If you don't have kids, don't tune out. Followers of Jesus, this is important for all of us to get this. The future of the church depends on it. So that's how important it is to all of us. Let's pray before we go to our text. God, just thank you. Thank you for your gifts, your gift of relationship, our relationships with one another, and more importantly, our relationship with you, and how our relationships with one another kind of teach us and others about how you interact with us, both in relationships with our parents and our kids, and relationships with our spouses and our employers and our employees. All of those things should sharpen us and help us to become more like you, and should show the world your love to us and through us. God, I just pray today as we open your word and we discuss this topic of relationship with the next generation with the emphasis on growing the next generation, I just pray that your spirit will speak in and through me today, Lord. Help us all to take a step closer to you as a result. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to read the first 9 verses. So go ahead and join me here. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, the context here, again, is talking about God's goodness and his faithfulness in the nation of Israel. All the things that he has done to help them get out of Egypt and slavery and possess a land that's going to be theirs for generations to come. And it's important to remember, again, the context here of remembering God's goodness and his faithfulness. You know, I think about my own life, and then there are periods of time where God has just shown up in such a big way, and it's been so obvious. And if I don't rehearse those times with my kids, and your kids, and with you, I miss an incredible opportunity. And as years go by, I tend to forget how God has shown up and how he's always been good and faithful. And then what happens is when I reach to a point where I have another difficult time that I'm coming to, I forget the fact of the rivers that God had dried up so I could cross on dry ground. I forget the illnesses that I've had that he has helped me recover from. I forget the person that I once was, that he's helped me mold me into a new creation, a new person that is more like him. I forget the fact that I have the assurance of salvation. I start to forget these things that I don't rehearse. It's not good for me, and it's not good for my kids. Well, this is nothing new. This is all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where we get Moses, God through Moses is telling the children of Israel, listen, you need to rehearse these things for the sake of your kids. And I would say it's for the sake of the kids in general of Israel, not necessarily your own biological children, but for all those kids that you come in contact with and have interactions with. So the context, again, is God's goodness and his faithfulness. Now, there's three things that I want to point out about this text before we move on and get really practical. The first one is this. The whole church needs to take part. This isn't just the job of mom and dad. Now, mom and dad, this is one of your primary jobs, is to model righteousness, to model this stuff for the kids. And we're going to get to that. But this is for the entire church. You know, we all have a vested interest in the next generation's spiritual development and growth. This, again, the context here is to Israel. And I'm going to argue with that the nation of Israel ought to have been involved with the rearing of the next generation, whether it was their biological kids or not. And the same goes for the church. Nothing has changed in this regard. That this is for all of us to take part in. Secondly is this, is we need to model faithfulness in our lives. What does that mean? That means we need to walk the walk. You know, kids are looking for the hypocrites, and when we're not transparent, when we're not honest, when we're afraid to apologize and own our mistakes and own our faults and own our sins, our kids notice that. Our kids notice that. We need as parents, so specifically to parents now just for a second, as parents, we need to get our pride in check and think first of our kids' spiritual development. Before we worry about what we look like, before we get down that road of, man, I don't want my kid to think I'm this, that, or the other thing. Listen, our kids should know that we are fallen sinners in desperate need of a Savior. Our kids should know that when we make mistakes, we own up to them. We apologize. We repent. That's part of the process. And if our kids aren't seeing it modeled for us, why do we expect them to do it? How do we expect them to do it? We have to model, we have to walk the walk. Third, we need to teach faithfulness. What do I mean by that? We need to talk the talk. We can walk the walk all we want. I've heard this so many times where, you know what? I don't need to say anything. People will see how I live my life, and that will be enough of a witness for them. Listen, can I just be super blunt just for a moment? I'm going to be, even if you say no. We're not that fantastic. We're not that fantastic. We mess up, and it's all we do is walk and do our best to walk in righteousness, and we don't talk the talk to go along with it. We're missing an opportunity to say, listen, I'm a changed and growing human being. Why? Because God is good. Because God is gracious. Because God is merciful. Because God is a miracle worker. If we don't talk the talk when we're walking the walk, we're only doing part of our job. And people are missing out on an important truth. And that truth is this: God is good. God is faithful. God is righteous, and it's his righteousness that we're able to step into. So parents, adults in the church, whether you have biological children or not, we must embrace this responsibility to rear our children in the Lord. We got to stop complaining about how kids are stopped. They're not coming to church anymore. They're picking this lifestyle or that lifestyle. We need to embrace our responsibility to help them make decision to follow Christ. But kids, it's not all just our responsibility as the generation that's come before you. There comes a time where you have to take responsibility and ownership of your own faith. And to look at that, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 6, just the first three verses. Ephesians chapter 6. It says this: "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Now, this is in a reference to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, if you want to go back and look at that. Kids, you need to take responsibility for your own faith and your own walk as well. Parents can't force obedience. You can force behavior, but you can't force real obedience. Why? I think obedience isn't just doing what you're told. It's doing what you're told, the way you're told it, with the right heart attitude. Now, that's the tricky part. You may be forced into doing something you don't want to do because your parents told you, but is it with the right heart attitude? Because that's what really obedience is. And that's only you, as a young believer. That's for you to take ownership of and grow in. How do we do this, kids? How do you take responsibility for your own spiritual faith, or your own spiritual journey, or walk with Christ? Well, I think there's some things you can do practically right now. First of all, you can surround yourself with faithful people. Simply put, you're influenced by the people you're around. That can be really good. That can be really bad. You know, you go off to college. Who are you looking for relationships with? Maybe it's you're not at college age yet. You're just starting to go to high school. Who is it that you're wanting to hang out with? Now, I know it's okay to be friends with folks who don't know Christ, and we ought to be. But if the only people we surround ourselves with don't have a like faith in Jesus Christ, you are going to be adversely influenced by them. Don't think you won't. I've had this conversation probably hundreds of times where somebody says, no, not me. Everybody I hang out with is going to be influenced by me, but not the other way around. Friends, it doesn't happen that way. It simply doesn't happen that way. Not to be crude, but I've got a little bit of a farming background. You know what happens when you go into the stall to muck a stall, which means clean up the undesirable elements in a stall? You begin to smell like the stall. That's what happens. The environment to which you surround yourself with, you start to take on the characteristics of. That's the way it works. You're not different than anybody else when it comes to this. I'm not different than anybody else when it comes to this. If the only people I hang out with don't love the Lord and aren't encouraging my spiritual growth and walk, I'm missing out because I'm getting influenced in a negative way. So surround yourself with faithful people. Second, discipline yourself to fear God and not man. Now, when I say fear God, I'm not talking about like walking around scared of your own shadow, that if you make a mistake, God's just going to strike you down. But it's this holy reverence and respect for God. What does God think of how I'm living my life? That's what we need to be thinking about, not what does man think. You know, how popular am I going to be if I don't do this thing with my friends? Fear God, don't fear man. Read the Bible for yourself. I mean, just spend some time, even if it's 5 minutes a day, guys. Just open the Word of God and read it, and through the Holy Spirit, He's going to show you things, and you're going to grow. Learn to forgive your parents and other spiritual guides, because we're imperfect and we're bound to make a lot of mistakes. Learn to forgive. Be patient, even with your parents. You know, one of the things I think is helpful and healthy for me as a dad is to apologize to my kids. And I got to tell you, and again, I'm talking to kids right now, that's also the hardest thing I think for me to do, or one of the hardest things, is to look my kids in the eye and say, I messed up and I'm sorry. But it helps their development. Now, it's also important for my kids to hear that and accept my apologies and recognize I am a fallen sinner too. And I'm on this journey of becoming more like Christ. And it's this path of spiritual maturity that, you know, I haven't arrived at, but I'm continuing to work. So be patient with those folks around you. Finally, seek someone more spiritually mature than you to disciple you. You know, if you're a guy, find a guy who's a little bit more spiritually mature than you. If you're a girl, find a girl who's a little bit more spiritually mature than you, who will disciple you, who will take the time to engage you in this journey, in this spiritual growth to become more like Jesus. You have in your own hands, young man, young woman, you have in your own hands the ability to grow and spiritually mature through Christ. Listen, there is no junior indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you're 7 years old, you are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, which means you have the power and ability to grow in your faith, but take ownership of that as well and as you go. Now, for the rest of us, I want to get back to getting really practical for the rest of our time together today. And in order to do that, I want to invite some of our experts. We have some outstanding experts in this field here at Berean that I'm encouraged by, that I think that we're extremely blessed and fortunate to have. And that, of course, is Pastor Phil, he's our family pastor, Kelly Canfield, who is our director of Berean Kids, and Matt Spiegel, I'm not going to get this right, Spiegel? I did it wrong on purpose. Matt Spiegel, just to show you that we don't edit, we just run with it. It's okay. Matt Spiegel, the director of our student ministries, I'm going to ask them to go ahead and join me one at a time so that we can socially distance. We're not making a joke about this. We're serious about it. We want to make sure that you're safe when you come here a week from now. Make sure that our staff is safe as well. So instead of doing what we would normally do is have everybody come up at once, I'm going to ask them to come out one at a time as I ask them some questions. So I'm going to move this over here. Is this good? I'm just going to run with it. We're going to start with Kelly. Kelly, come on up. We don't need a stool. That's a little too close, Kelly. Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Socially distanced.
Keep our distance.
Where's my mask? Okay. So, Kelly, we do have a pretty big job. It's a rewarding and challenging job, right, of rearing this next generation. My question for you specifically is, like, how do we go about, as Berean, how do we go about partnering with parents for the spiritual development of our kids?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to do that. I think the immediate thing that I am honestly kind of excited about is the family worships that we're going to have for a while. Kids mimic other actions. And so when they see people standing to sing, they're going to stand and sing. When they see Pastor Dan talking, they're going to somewhat listen, but they mimic those actions. No offense.
You know, I'm happy. If I get somewhat listen out of
a three-year-old,
out of a 40-year-old, I feel like I'm doing well.
But I'm excited for it because once they get out of children's ministry, they go to service once and then they go to youth group. And in children's ministry, or once they're done in children's ministry, they don't know what service is like. So I think partnering with parents and making it okay for kids to be in service and letting them know that kids are going to ask questions and they're going to squirm around and they're going, you know, just letting them know that it's okay. But I think a mentorship program, kind of what you talked, I think is so important to have somebody older than you, somebody that has experienced what you are going through now, to walk alongside of you.
Are you talking about as a parent or
yes,
with a kid?
Sorry, as a parent.
As a parent, okay.
Yes, as a parent, have somebody older than you come alongside of you and keep you accountable with your spiritual life, keep you accountable as a parent. Just walk through those steps with you. And the church can help with that by setting up classes. I know that we've had some interest in even baby dedication classes and how to get them connected with a mentorship sort of program. There's a lot of amazing people here that have gone through what parents are going through now, and just come alongside them and help them, support them in everything that we can. And parenting classes, I think, are always exciting, and it can equip parents to disciple their kids. And discipleship starts at home. And when we put discipleship at home with discipleship at church, you have a lot of greater influence. Parents are with their kids way more than we are. I mean, if a kid comes to one service once a week, we have them for an hour and a half. But a parent has them in the morning before school, in the morning after school. And so their influence them is so much greater than what we can have. We can equip them with devotionals that they can do at home. I mean, setting that example as a young age, and then as they grow, they will be more accepted to it and more excited for it. And support parents, honestly, just with a coffee or, you know, like, hey, like, you're doing a good job. Like, this is hard, but you are doing a good job. And love on them and just let
especially
them know.
Especially parents of
love.
Toddlers.
Amen.
And teenagers. Toddlers and teenagers.
If anybody wants to bring me coffee, you'll take it.
Well, yeah, you need to hear, though, that you're doing a good job, because there are plenty of times where you just don't feel like you're doing a good job.
Right. It's hard. It is hard. And, I mean, adding social distance learning adds a whole new element to it, and just the unknown, but just supporting parents, loving parents. But even with the baby dedication class that we were supposed to do before quarantine hit, we were going to talk about a mentorship and how we can help them help a parent find a guy or a girl to come alongside
them. And that'll be coming in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, in the immediate future, I'm excited about family worship. I think it's supporting parents by accepting their kids and coming alongside them and letting them know that their kids are loved and welcome at church. Yeah.
That's good. Thank you very much, Kelly. You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking too, like, you know, I've got teenage boys now, and, you know, I have to be very careful with this just because the world's a crazy place, but there are people who I know very well and trust that I love it when they take my kids to, like, a coffee, or, you know, a man takes my 15-year-old out and just kind of challenges them about something, or just has an open and honest conversation. Another thing I've done in the past is kind of the bonfire with the guys and with the younger boys, and we have some real conversation. I think it's fantastic for our kids to be helped in their growth by other mature Christians.
Yeah, so. And you can do that way, and also volunteering is another huge way to support parents. I mean, when your kid is excited to come to church, it makes Sunday mornings a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
There's not the fight, like, oh, do we have to? Like, they're excited. I mean, it's making
you're talking
it
about
exciting.
Phil right now, right?
Absolutely.
Poor Sarah every week hears that.
Oh,
do we have to go?
But make it an exciting building that they want to come to. And that's the start of their life at church. I mean, it starts in the nursery. Make them excited. Make them feel loved and welcomed. And we have amazing volunteers that do that. And so even volunteers are supporting parents by loving their kids and teaching their kids about Jesus. Nursery up through high college, you know, I mean, all the way to sermons on Sunday. We do a great job here. But volunteers are another great way that support parents.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next, I'm going to ask Matt Spiegel to come up and join me, if that's your real name.
Matt Spiegel here.
There you go. Matt, student ministries director, there's a lot of challenges to all of this. What are some of our obstacles in helping the next generation, or what are some of the next generation's obstacles? However you want to kind of take that.
Yeah, for sure. When I was thinking about that, like obstacles that young people are facing today, and just trying to lead them to a life following Jesus, I think one big thing is that there's just so many negative voices out there. And that's something you touched on, but there are so many negative voices. With the rise of social media, young people, they're seeing a lot of people trying to lead them a certain direction. They're seeing friends at school lead them a certain direction. And so there are so many different people kind of fighting for the attention of our young people. So I think that's just one huge challenge. You know, I think it's interesting. I was talking with my fiance about this just a couple weeks ago, and we kind of had this realization that almost all our friends from middle school and high school, or maybe not all, but a large majority of our friends aren't following Jesus anymore. And that kind of shocked me looking back on it, because I was like, wow, I thought I had solid friends in high school. I grew up being a Christian. Most of my friends were Christians. And when I stopped and thought through this, I started realizing almost every single one of my friends, when they did fall away from Jesus, it started with them hanging around really a bad group of friends. And so I think a huge challenge is just these negative influences that we see. But, you know, I think a good side of that is that just as there are so many negative influences, I think a young person can really be positively impacted by just one positive influence. And that's something I've gotten to see recently. I can count a couple conversations I've had just in the last month where a young person said, you know what, like, the reason I'm following Jesus today is because one person spoke into my life. And I think that's incredibly encouraging for me, because I get discouraged sometimes seeing the climate that we're living in. But seeing that one voice, like, God can use one person to turn a life around, I think that's awesome.
Well, thank you, Mr. Spiegel.
Indeed, anytime.
Good work. Now, Pastor Phil, if you come on up. Now, final question. Yeah, stay away from me, man. Stay away from me. Final question for you on this topic. Why is it, I've touched on this already, but I want to really make sure we fully understand this as a church. Why is this the job? Why is this important to the church, capital C? Why is it important to all of us to invest in the next generation?
Yeah, well, I said it before, you know, when I preached, it's like the church is always one generation away from extinction. The church is always one generation from extinction. And so we need to have, as a body of Christ, a mentality of spiritual succession. It's like it's always about making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And if that doesn't transcend generation, we've failed. We've failed the task of the Great Commission that God's called us to do. And so it is. It's an every member kind of thing. You know, I was I love Fuller Youth Institute. They put out a lot of great resources, and one of their things that they've shown in Sticky Faith was that the chance of a student keeping their faith post high school goes off the charts if they have 5 meaningful adult relationships in the local church. 5, you know, and a parents are 2 if they're both Christ followers. Well, maybe you've got a youth pastor. There still needs to be at least 2. And so it takes the whole body of Christ to do that. You know, you hear the phrase, it takes a village to raise a child. You know, it takes a church to make a disciple. It takes the whole church to make a disciple. We need to be in this together. You know, and I think, you know, all the time we're trying, Matt, Kelly and I are trying to recruit, hey, can you help us be intentional about making disciples in the next generation? And what I hear a lot is, I can't relate to young people. And what I want to just encourage you with is if you have a relationship with Jesus that's authentic and real, that relationship with Christ transcends generation. You know, if you can't say, follow me as I follow Christ, there's an issue you need to deal with. You know, but I think for most of us, we can say that. And yeah, we stumble and we fall and we fail. And man, wouldn't it be great if our teenagers and our young people could learn those mistakes so they don't have to repeat them? You know, and so I would just say, how do you invest in, who can you invest in? Find one person in the next generation and just pour your life into that. You know, take them to coffee, take them just throw a football, take them, invest in them, and then get real and talk about your faith and how God's helped you grow into the likeness of Jesus.
That's good. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
You know, as Phil's talking, I'm just looking around the room, and I wasn't going to do this. I'm just going to shock everybody that's in there. But we've got all of our interns here joining us. So it's not something we're just wanting to talk about. We're taking seriously as a staff the investment in the next generation. And we have some incredible leaders here, not just leaders in the making, but leaders right now who are interning with us. And through our devotions, Pastor Phil and Kelly have been interviewing them, so you got to get to know them a little bit. And if you haven't, you can go back and watch some of them. But I'm just going to ask all of them, just kind of just a little parade behind us, just kind of wave as you go. It's weird. This isn't planned. We're just going to go ahead and do this. Because you know what? I want you to see these faces. I want you to be praying for these folks, as these are the leaders in our next generation. These are the people who are going to be leading our church going forward. So I know this is also super awkward and they're all hating me right now, but that's okay. We're just going to go ahead and run with it. Alex, you got, come over here, Alex, since you got left out there, and it's Michael and Alex, right?
Yep. Yep.
All right, so since you guys were last, come on over here.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, sure, yeah. You know what, we're closing up now. Alex, why don't we close this in a word of prayer that you didn't know you were about to do?
Oh, yeah, no problem. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to have relationship with one another, the opportunity to build disciples as a body of Christ, as you have called us to do. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to be bold in our faith, to be faithful to you also as you have been faithful to us, as we continue to pour into one another, not only to pour as parents into our children or as fellow believers into the younger generation, but also into one another, as we encourage one another in the days to come while we await for you, Lord, for when you return, whenever that may be. Jesus, thank you so much for all that you do and all that you have already done in this time. And I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to work and manifest yourself in our lives each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
that's great. Thanks. We're going to go ahead and kick it back to Isaiah and Michael and the rest of the guys for one more song of worship. Look, glad to have the opportunity to worship with you today. May God bless you, and we'll see you next week.